All right, everybody. Frank and I are so excited.
It's a big moment with Bob Berg.
I know. To have our good friend Bob Berg on. And it has been such an honor to know him for as many years as we have. He has mentored us and poured into ourselves personally and our team, personally and through his books. And we are excited that one of his books, The Go-Giver, is our book of the month this month. And to have the author on the line with us live is pretty darn special.
No, it's real special. We've had Mr. Berg here. We've had him on calls. He's made videos for us. Matter of fact, Bob, I thank Bob for being on the phone with us. Our team has been looking forward to this. I can never think of a time, Bob, that we have asked you to do something that you have gone overboard to get it done.
I know. He lives what he preaches.
Yeah, for sure. He does live it, that's for sure.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, the book is The Go-Giver, and most of you are already reading it, and if you're not, you're really left out. You've got to go join the crowd here and get in on the knowledge. It's a short book. It's powerful, and we just learned from Bob today that it's in 22 languages
22
now.
22 different languages, sold almost a million copies.
Yeah, a little short of a million copies. Yeah.
That's among some other books he's written also.
Right.
Right. And we'll talk about those.
And we're going to, you know, get Bob on here. He's on here now. We're just enjoying introducing him to you all. But we're wanting him to share with you some of his insights and some of the things. He knows our industry backwards and forwards. In fact, he's been a big part of the success, I believe, in the whole direct sales network marketing industry. His way of teaching us how to get referrals. I mean, it's amazing. It really is.
He's spoken in front of 20,000 people at a time.
Yeah.
He's one of the most respected people in the entire industry. So,
Bob,
good to have you with us, buddy.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you.
You know, I'm just listening to the two of you, and I have this big smile across my face because, first of all, you two have been two of my just best friends and really have been my mentors. And anytime I get a chance to speak to the Acoins or to John and Elizabeth Gardner, I know I'm going to be taking notes because I'm going to be learning. And I know everyone on your team appreciates and knows the kind of leadership they have. But just speaking as a third party, just everyone is so blessed to have the two of you, to have you and the Gardners leading them. So thank you for all you do.
Oh, man, that's no problem. Well, I'm going to ask you a question outside of the normal stuff here, okay?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm sure he's ready.
You are so good. I mean, you are so good at helping everyone else, you know, get what they want and fill their needs and stuff. And you're also so good at helping people, you know, do the most remarkable things in their own life. Where did all that come from? I mean, that didn't just start because you went into sales. I mean, was that something you had as a young man?
Well, I was very fortunate, still am, to have been born to a couple of people who just set the example for me by how they have always lived. You know, my mom and dad are just, to me, the walking embodiment of, you know, what we would call go-givers. That's not a word that would have been used or that would have been thought of, I don't think. But that's what they always did. They were always kind to everyone. They always brought value to everyone they met. And so I had a great example to learn from. Now, that doesn't mean from time to time, as kids will do, that I didn't get off track, because I certainly did. And I think that when I first started in the business world and I started seeing some of the negative examples of people who, you know, seemed to be getting what they wanted, and seemed to be having a modicum of success and who were admired, and they did things in ways that were contrary, but then you kind of really started to see the truth of what they were all about and what really happened. And fortunately, I came back to my roots, so to speak, and how I was really brought up and raised. And so yes, that is absolutely the primary example of you know, where I learned this.
Well, I know some people use their charisma instead of their character, and you just had such great character all these years. I just wonder where the heck it came from.
Oh, thank you.
It is really awesome.
Yeah, and that you're doing so many great things with it and influencing so many people to do better in their lives and their businesses with your books and your talks and your interviews and your speeches. So it's just awesome.
I don't know if you
Thank you.
Bob, weren't you radio? Were you on radio and TV, I think? You were.
Yeah. that was my start. I actually started as a radio sportscaster, and then I was a television news anchor, ironically enough, in the town of Ada, Oklahoma.
No way.
Yeah, back when they had a station there, since it was an ABC affiliate. Since then, they moved to Sherman Denison. But I actually covered the very first meeting of this little startup company called Prepaid Legal.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Wow!
It was at the Ken Lance Arena. And I remember F. Lee Bailey was the keynote speaker, and it was the original small group of people and their investors having this meeting about this company. Can you believe that?
Wow. Now, did you interview Harlan at that time?
I don't think I did. I do not think I did. I did interview F. Lee Bailey, and we got a few moments of sound on him on during the interview, because he was the main attraction. But I remember we just did sort of a story. It was like a minute and a half, 2 minute story. Local company starting in Ada, Oklahoma. This was back in, it would have been 1980, either 2 or 3, because that's when I was with that station.
Well, it's come full circle, buddy.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a neat thing. So I've always felt, an affinity, now with Legal Shield, just because I was actually there at the very first one, the very first meeting.
Well, we need to bring that up with a new regime. We're going to bring that one up.
I love that. Oh, my gosh, that's so awesome.
And did you take that in school? Did you take sales or marketing or business in school?
No, I went to a very small college that really didn't have a whole lot of anything, but it was about the only college I could have gotten in. I always joke that I got into college on academic probation, and I graduated on academic probation. But so it was a very small college. I was an English major. We didn't even have a journalism or communications minor. What a bunch of us did was got internships during the summers and during the year, and we would kind of bring back the knowledge and share it with everyone. So it was really great because I could be a big fish in a very small pond. And so it was very, it was very entrepreneurial in that sense. We just, we did what we could do. Whereas had I gone to a big school for journalism, I probably would have gotten lost in the shuffle.
That's a really good lesson.
Yeah,
taught. I mean, in the middle of all that. Well, I just always wondered. Well, I know we've got a bunch of questions for you here, but I just want everybody to get to know you and what a nice guy you are.
Oh,
thank you. I know, and that history is invaluable. That is so exciting. It really is. So let's talk about your book. There's 5 laws that you talk about that you share in the book via John and so forth. And so if you could just touch on each one, and when you get to influence, we would like to maybe emphasize that one, because we're really working with our team right now, Bob, on becoming an influencer factory, a leadership factory.
Sure.
So, but they're all important. So would you just touch on each one for us?
Yeah, sure. The laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. The law of value tells us that which says give more in value than what you take in payment, which can be easily confused with first hearing it. It sounds counterintuitive. It sounds like you're not making a profit, but that, of course, isn't it. It's simply understanding the difference between price and value, price being a dollar figure or dollar amount, value being the relative worth value being the relative worth or desirability of a thing, of something, to the end user or beholder. So in other words, what is it about this product, service, concept, idea, what have you, that brings so much worth that someone will willingly exchange their money for it and be ecstatic that they did, while you make a very healthy profit? And we would use the example that when someone is buying from you, and whether we're talking about legal insurance, whether we're talking about identity theft, what they're doing is you're giving them more in value in terms of their peace of mind, their ability to be confident, knowing they're not going to get financially ruined, all these different things that you're able to give them in exchange for a very, very minimal amount of money they're paying. And yet it's not just that you're doing. You're also, just by the way you make them feel about themselves, through your excellence, through your consistency when you deal with them, through your attention to them and attention to detail, through the empathy you have and are displaying to them when you're helping them to sign up, through the appreciation that you're showing them. And, of course, when we talk about bringing a new, a member onto your team, a new associate, what are you giving them? Well, again, you're giving them an opportunity to do something with their lives that they never would have had the opportunity to do without your help. And so when you really put yourself and put your heart and soul into helping another human being, through the entire experience itself, you're giving them more in value or use value to them than what they're paying, while, of course, you make a very healthy profit. So that's really the law of value. The law of compensation takes it to the next level. This says your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. So where law number one says to give more in value than you take in payment, law number two tells us that the more people whose lives you touch with this exceptional value you provide, the more money with which you'll be rewarded. Now, what's neat is through the model of your business, this happens directly and indirectly, because you may have people who are customers, who are consumers, and yes, you're helping them greatly with their needs, with protection, with security, and that's fantastic, and that's profitable, and that's very direct, and you might have someone who you bring on to your team, and another person you bring on directly, and as you're helping them to help others so that they're making money, you're, of course, earning more money. But here's the neat thing. As the people in your organization, as you help turn leaders into leaders and influencers into influencers, and more lives are being touched, you might have, you could have hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people eventually all over who are being both directly and indirectly touched by your value, by your influence. And as you do that, the amount of money you receive based on the number of lives you've touched is going to be, just really spectacular. The law of influence says your influence is determined by how abundantly you place other people's interests first. And I want to go back to that in a moment, because I want to discuss that a little bit more. But the law of authenticity simply says the most valuable gift you have to offer is yourself. This means, Frank and Teresa, and as Deborah, one of the mentors in the story, taught, in the book, all the skills in the world, the sales skills, technical skills, people skills, as important as they are, and they all are very, very important, they're also all for naught if you don't come at it from your true, authentic core. But when you do, when you show up as yourself day after day, week after week, month after month, people feel good about you. They feel comfortable with you. They know, like, and trust you. They feel safe with you. And they're much more likely to do business with you, to refer you to others, and to be led and influenced by you. And law number five, the law of receptivity, says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. This means understanding that it's not only a matter of breathing out, but also breathing in. We breathe out carbon dioxide, but we also breathe in oxygen. We breathe out, which is giving value to everyone we meet, but we also receive. And contrary to the messages we receive so often from the world around us, giving and receiving are not opposite concepts. They're simply two sides of the very same coin. So it's not a matter of, are you a giver or a receiver? No, you're a giver and a receiver. But you know that the focus is on the giving. This is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. it's the thunder to values lightning, which means nothing more than that the focus must be on serving others. The value comes first, and the money you receive is simply a very natural and a direct result of the value you've provided to others. And when you understand that, now you can open yourself up to receiving that which you have truly earned. And, you know, all this happens, and we go back to influence, and I think of you know, the Aucoins, and I think of the Gardeners, and I think of the people within the organization who are on their way to accomplishing just greatness. And it all has to do with influence. And you think, well, okay, so what is influence really? Because I made a statement. I said, influence is you know, based on how abundantly you place other people's interests first. And that sounds counterintuitive to a lot of people. But when you think about it, the greatest leaders, the top influencers, the most successful, the top producers, this is simply how they run their lives and conduct their businesses. They're always looking for ways to place other people's interests first, to make other people's lives better, to help people accomplish their goals. So I want to make this really clear, though, that when we say place other people's interests first, that does not mean you should be anyone's doormat. It does not mean you should be a martyr. It does not mean you should be self-sacrificial in any way. Absolutely not at all. It's simply understanding what Joe, the protege in the story, learned from several of the mentors, and that is, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to and allow themselves to be led and influenced by those people they know, like, and trust. And there's no faster, more powerful, or more effective way of eliciting those kinds of feelings toward you in others than by genuinely and authentically moving from what we call an I focus or me focus to what Sam in the story, one of the mentors, advised Joe, an other focus, looking to make their win, or excuse me, looking to make your win all about the other person's win. And, you know, I would ask the people in your organization, you know, isn't that the Gardeners? Isn't that the Aucoins, right? Isn't that the people for whom you have so much respect? They're always looking for ways to make your life better. Now, so how does that really happen? What's the essence of that? Because we talk about leadership, we talk about influence. What is influence? Well, on a very, very basic level, influence is simply the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. That's the definition, but it's not the essence. The essence of influence is pull. Pull as opposed to push. You never hear someone say, wow, that David or that Susan, she is so influential. She has a lot of push with people. Man, she is so pushy, we just love her. No, you wouldn't hear that. You'd hear, she's very influential. She has a lot of pull with people, because that's what influence is. It's an attraction. Great influencers attract people first to themselves and then to their ideas. And we say, well, how do they do that? Well, they do it in a sense, you know, there's many ways to provide value that influences others. It really comes down to three things. Least of all, you know, we would say that what you have to give, you give least of all through what you say. Now, what you say is important, of course. We need to speak to people with kindness and tact and empathy. And absolutely, what you say is important, but it's the least important. More important is what you do. But most important is who you are. And that's where character comes into play. Character itself comes from an old Greek word meaning scrape or scratch. It came to mean an engraved marking and eventually a defining quality. In fact, if one were to wax poetic, one could say that character is what happens when life etches or scratches itself onto your soul. But not being particularly poetic, I like a defining quality, or perhaps more accurately, the sum total of all one's qualities is their defining quality or character. Now, here's the thing, and I would ask this. Have you ever noticed that with people of high character, they tend to stand for something. And with people of high character, you tend to know exactly where they stand. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't make mistakes. Of course they do. It doesn't mean they don't course correct. They absolutely do. And it doesn't mean they won't be flexible when it comes to various strategies and so forth. I mean, that's part of life. It's part of business. They'll be flexible on strategy, but when it comes to those values-based decisions, they are absolutely immovable, immutable, and unchangeable. And that's why we respect them, and that's why we will follow them. They have high character, and people who have high character are very influential.
Awesome stuff. Oh, my gosh. I know everybody's taking a massive note, Bob. Thank you so much for...
Oh, I never thought that. I never thought about that people with character, people with influence, every one of them have stood for something that people can follow.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was Kennedy or Muhammad or anything, whoever it was, I'm taking
exactly. And people knew. And here's the interesting thing: as you say that, and with people of high character like this who stand for something, you don't even have to agree with every single decision they make. That's not the issue. It's that you have ultimate trust in them because you know that they are standing for what they believe in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a whole new way of thinking. And I know, like, whether it was Martin Luther King or whether it was Henry Ford who wanted a driveway in every driveway, a car in every driveway, you knew where he stood. Edison wanted lights in every house. You knew where he stood. I mean, when you get that in your head and you do that, then you become an influencer because people follow that. The ones who want it will follow that.
That is great stuff.
No, that is really good stuff.
Yeah, same here in our business. The people who know where they're going and are clear about it, it makes a big difference. And especially when you add all these other values to the picture, it makes a huge difference in success and whether you're growing fast or slow and all of that. These are the underlying factors, I think, that really make the difference between people who develop big organizations and people who don't.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's, you know, and I think of you all, and I think of the Gardeners, and I just think of, you know, I mean, these are the that's why your organizations are so immense, and that's also why so many in your organization are also great leaders themselves. And I'm just excited about the people who you're influencing, but you're influencing them to influence others, and they're going to be influencing others, and that's really how it works. And it's just exciting as a, you know, as a, again, as a third party friend of the organization. It's just exciting for me to watch this.
Well, I want to say two things before we wrap up here. That I want to take it on myself to be the spokesperson for I don't know how many millions of people that say thank you. And on our team, I know that Corey Muhammad is one of our leaders, and you've helped him. And Ron and Norma Crutcher, you've helped them. And Rob Hurst, you've helped them. And Eddie Smith, you've helped them. And there's just millions of people. But these are personal people with families that you're helping improve their lives. And I think when you become a go-giver, that the main thing that happens in your life is that here's what you've done with that book. You have brought joy, happiness, peace, and freedom to people, Bob, when you've done that. And I think our whole thing is if we have joy, happiness, peace in our marriage, if we have joy, happiness, and peace in our business relationships and in our personal relationships, then you have to be a go-giver to do that. And I think you have brought that home. And that's what everybody wants. They want to be joyful when they're around somebody, peaceful when they're around somebody, happy when they're around somebody, and they want to be free to be the person that they really are. And you have helped people do that. So from the bottom of my heart, I thank you so much.
Yes, we've taken up a lot of your time. So, Bob, thank you so much for spending.
I want him to mention this. What are you writing another book, Bob?
Yeah, we've got another one coming out. Actually, it's going to be called The Go-Giver Influencer. So we're very excited about that.
Fantastic. And for everybody on the line, there's a book called Endless Referrals that Bob also wrote that has been really, really popular.
Oh, I love that.
With everybody, yeah. And so for those of you who want to expand your list, if you will, that is another book. I know you probably already finished Go Giver because it's halfway through the month. Four books. So go grab the endless referrals, and I highly recommend that to
Thanks.
Compliment the giver. Yes.
That's so kind of you.
Listen, Bob, we hate to leave this call. We've got to move on, but it's just been wonderful to have you on the call, and we're going to keep promoting this book and anything else that you write.
Well, I can't tell you how grateful I am to you. Thank you so much again just for being such wonderful friends and mentors and for doing everything you do. Thank you.
Well, God's going to have a problem. Didn't know which heaven to send you to, animal heaven or human heaven.
Thank you.
Bob's a big animal lover. So.
Hey, absolutely.
Thank you, Bob, so much. Go have a great rest of the day. We appreciate you so much.
Thanks. Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.